Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive with us.
Yeah, glad to be back.
Today, we're going to be tackling a topic that seems to be everywhere these days, energy policy, right?
Yeah, definitely a hot topic.
Always sparking debates.
That's a strong opinion.
Oh, for sure. And to get us thinking deeply about it, we're going to be diving into this video from the Mises Media YouTube channel.
Interesting.
It's called, Why Almost Everyone Who Talks About Energy is Wrong.
Catchy title.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So get ready, because this video really challenges a lot of the common assumptions that we hear in all these discussions about energy.
I think that's what drew me to this video, to be honest with you. I mean, so often we hear, you know, politicians or activists or even just like everyday people talking about what we absolutely have to do to address climate change, you know?
Right.
They're so sure that they've got the answer.
Oh, like.
But they kind of skip over explaining, you know, why they're so certain.
Yeah, yeah.
What beliefs are they basing those pronouncements on?
That's such a good point. And this video, it really highlights three big assumptions that I think a lot of people just kind of take for granted.
Okay, lay them on me.
All right. So the first one is that environmental impact should be the number one priority when it comes to energy policy.
Okay.
Like above everything else.
Mm.
And then the second one is that traditional sources of energy, like fossil fuels, mm-hmm. are inherently bad.
Okay, so like oil, natural gas, coal, that kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. And the third assumption is that we absolutely must switch away from these fossil fuels to avoid some kind of climate catastrophe, you know?
Yeah.
Like no matter the cost.
No matter the cost, yeah.
And that got me thinking, like, what if these assumptions, as common as they are, what if they're not really telling the whole story?
Yeah. Like I said, that's what intrigued me about the video, too.
Yeah.
It really pushes us to consider some different angles.
For sure.
Like, for example, okay, let's just say that green energy is cleaner, as many people argue.
Yeah, that's the general idea, right?
Right. But what if, and this is a big what if it's just not as efficient or as powerful as other sources?
Right.
Can it actually support the same level of human progress and well-being that we've achieved, you know, with these traditional sources of energy?
Right, right.
Is there like a trade-off there?
Potentially.
Between environmental goals and, let's say, making sure everyone has access to affordable, reliable energy.
Yeah, and that kind of reminded me of something else that the video brought up about, you know, all the dire predictions that we hear about climate change.
Okay, yeah.
Like, you know, you hear about rising sea levels.
Right.
And extreme weather events and all these kind of scary scenarios.
I mean, it's everywhere you turn, right? Like, you can't escape it.
But here's the thing that I thought was really interesting. The data, like, when you actually look at the numbers,
mm-hmm.
it shows that climate-related deaths are actually going down.
Mm.
And the global food supply, it's actually increasing.
That is interesting. So even with, you know, the changes in climate that are happening, we're actually seeing some positive trends in those areas.
Yeah, yeah. And then the video pointed out something that I just found, oh, I don't know, kind of ironic, maybe.
Okay, I'm curious.
So they talk about how some of the most vocal climate activists,
yeah,
the people who are, you know, really pushing for these drastic changes,
right, the ones sounding the alarm,
exactly, yeah, they are also the ones who are investing in like these really expensive coastal properties.
Oh wow, yeah, that's funny,
like beachfront mansions and things like that.
I mean, I can see the appeal of beachfront property, but it's a little, yeah, like you said, ironic given their concerns about rising sea levels.
Right, it's like, are they putting their money where their mouth is?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Is it something else?
It's a good question. And I think the video uses that example, you know, not to make fun of anyone or attack them personally, but to make us think about the consistency between people's actions and what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, are they truly worried about these things if they're doing that?
Yeah. I think that's a valid question to ask.
And, you know, the video then it goes on to explore some economic arguments, which I found to be really, really interesting.
Okay. Color me intrigued. Economics always makes things a little more complicated, doesn't it?
It does, but it's also really important to consider. And they highlight the work of this economist, William Nordhaus, who won the Nobel Prize in economics.
Oh, wow. So this is serious stuff.
It is. It is.
Okay, so what did he have to say?
Well, so his models have actually been used by the UN, you know, the United Nations.
Okay, yeah.
To support their arguments for phasing out fossil fuels.
Right, right.
But here's the twist.
Okay, I'm listening.
Nordhaus's own models, they actually suggest that the economic costs of drastically cutting fossil fuels might actually be greater than the projected benefits to the environment.
Yeah. That's pretty surprising, honestly.
It is, right.
It's kind of like, I don't know, maybe the cure is worse than the disease.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that.
It makes you think.
It does. So could you maybe break that down for us a little bit more?
Sure. So, like, imagine that you're trying to decide if you want to get rid of your old car, gas-powered car, and buy a new electric vehicle. Now, generally speaking, the electric vehicle is probably better for the environment, right? Less emissions.
Yeah, but they're also a lot more expensive.
Exactly. So you have to weigh those costs and benefits.
Right.
Now, Nordhaus's models, they're kind of like that same decision, but on a global scale.
Okay.
It's like a giant cost-benefit analysis for the whole planet.
That makes sense.
They're trying to weigh, the costs of climate change, all the negative things that could happen, versus the costs of switching to green energy.
And figuring out which one is worse or which one has more benefits.
Yeah, exactly. And they factor in all sorts of things like economic growth, technological innovation, of course, environmental impact, the whole nine yards.
So, are they saying that staying with fossil fuels is better than going green?
It's not quite that simple. And remember, Nordhaus, he's not like a climate change denier.
Okay.
He definitely believes that climate change is a real thing.
Right.
But what his models show is that a super rapid transition away from fossil fuels, like the kind that a lot of activists are calling for, might actually hurt us more in the long run, at
Really?
least from an economic standpoint.
That is really interesting. And I mean, it makes you think, like, are we jumping the gun?
Yeah, it's a valid question. I mean, are we making decisions based on fear rather than, really carefully weighing the costs and benefits?
And that's not all. The video, it also brings up this economist, Bob Murphy,
Okay.
who did his own analysis of Nordhaus's work and came to a similar conclusion.
Wow. So it's not just one guy, out there on his own
Right.
saying this stuff.
This is making me rethink a lot of what I thought I knew about this whole energy thing.
Yeah, me too. It's always good to challenge your assumptions.
And there's another layer to all of this,
Oh,
right?
yeah, there's always another layer.
The video also points out that some countries, like China,
Yes.
they are very much aware of this economic reality that we've been talking about.
They're not going to just jump on the bandwagon, are they?
No. And they're very unlikely to comply with, these really strict climate policies.
Right. No matter what the West does.
Exactly. Yeah. So, it makes you wonder, like, even if the Western nations, the US, Europe,
Yeah.
even if they did make this really rapid and expensive energy transition,
Right.
would it even make that much of a difference globally?
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge question.
If other countries are just going to keep doing their own thing.
It really makes you think about the global picture, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Yeah.
So, what do you think is the main takeaway from all of this?
Well, I think the video is arguing that the way we talk about energy, the alarmist tone that's so common these days, it's actually been harmful.
Really?
Yeah, it's stifled real debate and discussion, and it's led to some, questionable government policies.
And potentially hurt the economy. So
Exactly.
if we're not supposed to panic, what are we
Yeah.
supposed to do?
I think the key is to be really critical thinkers.
Right.
Don't just accept something as true because you hear it all the time or because someone in authority is saying it. Dig a little deeper, look at the evidence for yourself, and be open to different perspectives.
So we need to kind of think locally when it comes to energy policy.
I think that's a great way to put it.
It's about focusing on what makes sense in our own communities and what will benefit the people right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
Absolutely.
That's a good point. And think about the folks listening to us. If they find value in what we're doing here, trying to have these difficult conversations, they can always support us over at thinkingbacklocally.com/shout. Donate.
You got it.
You can find that link in the show notes. And as you're engaging in these conversations, keep those critical thinking skills sharp.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to ask the tough questions, right?
Exactly. Are we really considering all the costs and benefits? Are we thinking about the long-term consequences?
That's what it's all about.
These are important conversations to be having. So thank you all for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
See you later.
Bye.